Good morning.
Good morning.
We welcome you to worship. So excited to be together. It is the second Sunday of Advent. As you can tell, the sanctuary is beautiful. We thankful for all those who put together the decorations. It is favorite time of year, so thank you for that. A few announcements we'll make as we get started. First of all, we'd like to find out who is in worship today. The way we do that, there are pew pads on the inside aisle of every pew. We invite members and guests. Take that lovely burgundy pad and open it up. And inside, there's a place to put your name and contact information if you choose. And send it down so everybody has a chance to fill it out on your pew. Once it reaches that last person, if you could send it back to where it got started today. First person, what we ask is when it comes back to you, please tear out the pages that are used today, and our ushers will collect those at the end of the service. Thank you for that. Several things are listed there on the back of your bulletin. Draw your attention to a couple of them. Next week is our cantata service here in the sanctuary at 11 o'clock. Really looking forward to that beautiful time of worship. We've been delivering exam packs. Thank you for everybody who made that possible. It's exciting for college students to get this food from home. So thank you for that. A reminder, no Monday morning Bible study tomorrow. Make note of that. We are having children's time, so the kids will come down just for a few minutes and meet me right down there. Also, we have our Christmas offering goal. We are at $11,101. And so you'll see the candles that are representing as we get closer to our goal. Thank you so much for helping us with that. Mary, come on.
Our guest organist this morning is Ms. Chi-Chi Messick. I knew I was going to do that. She is a longtime church musician with roots in both the Baptist and Moravian tradition. So I hope you will make her feel very welcome this morning.
Ms. Nancy Hurst.
They're here to help me if I stumble. December is the season for the collection of our offerings and concentrated prayer for international missions. In the Great Commission, we are commanded to go into all the world and tell the good news. Our sacrificial gifts and prayers for our missionaries and their efforts allow us to be a part of God's great plan of providing salvation for the lost. In Voices of the Faithful, it is explained like this. We are meant to be like multicolored Christmas lights attached to one electrical cord called the Holy Spirit and strung strategically all over the earth. Yes, millions of lights on one cord with the guts to shine more brightly because we know the others are there. You and I are connected to these faraway missionaries in places like Europe, Middle East, Asia, Africa, and even to the far ends of the earth through the cord of the Holy Spirit. This holiday season, I challenge you to make your light shine brightly in our world. As you see the multicolored lights this Christmas season, let them remind you of our missionaries all over the world and God's commandment for each of us to reach our world for Him. Next Sunday, as an act of worship, we will have the opportunity to come forward and leave our offerings in the manger that will be located at the front here. Thank you.
Thank you for that beautiful reminder. We invite now for the lighting of the Advent wreath, the Loftus family to come and join us.
A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of power, the Spirit of knowledge and of fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes, or decide what he hears with his ears. But with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips, he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash around his waist. The wolf will live with the lamb. The shepherd will lie down with the goat. The leopard will lie down with the goat. The calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a child will lead them.
For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create himself in one new humanity out of the... Wait, what? I think I made a mistake. Let me start that over again. His purpose was to create himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death at their hostility. He came and preached peace to those who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit.
Today we light the candle of peace.
It's a special part of our service when our families lead us in worship. If you're a guest this morning, we're glad that you got to see that. We would like to give something to you. If you're a guest, we invite you just to raise your hand right where you are. Ushers are going to come down the aisles. They're going to give you some information. So just raise your hand if you're a guest. These ushers will come right back. They'll give you a packet of information. Inside this packet, you'll find a letter from our pastor welcoming you to our church. Also, a newsletter that tells you what's happening in the life of our congregation and a little bit of the story of College Park. Thank you for being a part of worship this day. We serve a God of peace. Thanks be to God for allowing us to worship. Will you pray with me? Father, it is clear that we need to be here. Father, we can feel your presence, and that's why we need to be here, to be with our fellow brothers and sisters who call on the name of Jesus. The reason why Christmas is even celebrated. So, Father, come into this place, we pray, and remind us why we should be here. Because we should want to be in your presence. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy? Let us pray and give thanks. Father, we thank you for this day, the seventh day, a day to rest or at least slow down, a day to give thanks to you and to worship you. And we thank you for your church that helps us to do all these things. From the birth of a child to the passing of a family member, all the crises and celebrations in between, we thank you for your church that helps us deal with all these events. We thank you for these gifts. We pray that you will bless these gifts to the future of your church. In the name of the one and only Jesus Christ, amen.
Holy Word in a helpless baby's cry. place to lay your head.
Listen to your
lips. Listen to your lips.
Listen
to your
lips.
Listen to your lips. I want to go to heaven when I die. A stable boy.
Hear the mama cry.
No fire to keep you warm.
Hear the mama cry.
A manger for your bed.
Hear the mama cry.
No place to lay your head.
How many of you have ever heard of a singer named Travis Tritt? You heard of him? I mean, he's pretty famous now, but like a lot of singers, when they start out, they have to kind of play in, shall we say, out-of-the-way places, truck stops, bars, taverns, things like that. And I think most musicians that have played in those type of environments know that they can be potentially dangerous. Unless you have the luxury of playing behind chicken wire, like I had the privilege when I was in high school, we played at Saluda Truck Stop, and we played behind chicken wire, and it was a good thing we played behind chicken wire, just saying. There's a story there I can't tell, but maybe one-on-one I could do that. But Travis Tritt had to play at a bunch of these kind of places, and his fans were mostly, well, let's just say when you mix alcohol with fatigue and frustration, ultimately you can have fights that break out, and often they did, and he acknowledged that, and he said he was not he did not feel very safe in a lot of those kind of environments. And so how did he handle those kind of crowds? This is a quote from him on how he handled those kind of situations. He says, quote, "When the bar fights or fight started getting out of hand, when bikers were reaching for their pool cues and rednecks were heading for the gun rack," you know what I'm talking about there, "I'd start playing Silent Night. It could be the middle of July. I didn't care. Sometimes they'd even start crying, standing there watching me sweat and play Christmas carols." Isn't that interesting? The singing of a few Christmas carols could bring peace to a bunch of drunken, angry men in a bar. And you know, Christmas carols can do that because the original carol promised exactly that. Peace to men. Hear it again. Luke 2, verse 13. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying. How many of you thought I was going to say singing? Sometimes, some people think that it was sung. But Scripture says, praising God and saying. They were kind of the first heavenly host rap group, okay? And they said this, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to men on whom his favor rests. Peace. Peace to men. Peace to mankind. Peace to people. That was the promise of that first carol. And without God's peace, the world can be a terribly violent place, can't it? I mean, it really can. About 27 years before Jesus was born, Rome experienced something very unique in history called the Pax Romana, or translation, the Peace of Rome, beginning with the reign of Augustine, emperor of Rome, and lasting about till about 180 AD, which would be a period of about 200 years, Rome was at peace. They had very few internal conflicts, and their nation rarely went to war. That's what they called peace. This Pax Romana, this peace, offered something the world hadn't known for centuries, and that was a nation at peace from war. But that peace, if you want to call it that, was only yours if you were Roman. If you weren't Roman, you could have peace with Rome, but often it was enforced at the point of a sword. You did things their way, or there really wasn't peace. And quite honestly, even for the Romans, this Pax Romana was a time of violence and uncertainty. During that period, most of the emperors died by assassination. Isn't that ironic? They call it the Peace of Rome, but their emperors are getting killed left and right. And it wasn't exactly a kind of group that you would like to bring home to mama. The emperors there, and some of them were Caligula. You heard about Caligula? Yeah, nice guy. Nero, heard about him. Titus, not nice people. This is a G-rated crowd, so I won't tell you about their exploits, but they're well documented, and they were not nice men. So yes, this was a time of national security for Rome, but it was also a time when people were filled with uncertainty and violence. There was peace from war in Rome, but certainly there was no real peace within the hearts of men. So, when the angels told about the Messiah, they were declaring that God was offering something that Rome could not give. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to men on whom his favor rests. At the height of Rome's Pax Romana, the angels of God declared that a newborn baby was going to offer a new and different kind of peace, something better than the world could ever offer. And Jesus spoke of this peace. Toward the end of his ministry, he was talking to his followers, and he was trying to comfort them. He was trying to prepare them. And he said these words in John 14, 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Jesus said he'd come to give us a peace that the world could not give. So what does the world give us instead? Well, one of the most prominent gifts of peace that this world offers is from the mouth of a bottle, or the needle of a syringe, or a pill from a bottle. The world offers to calm our fears through drugs, legal and illegal. But after the drugs are gone, people's hearts are still troubled, and they're still afraid. And so it takes more and more and more to mask the pain. And then there's kind of the Pollyanna approach. I'll just ignore it. The pain's not real. It'll just go away. It's a figment of my imagination. The pain doesn't exist because I refuse to picture it, because I refuse to believe it exists. But it does. It still exists. It exists. And failing to deal with it will yield consequences down the road. I cannot obtain lasting peace by medication into oblivion. I cannot obtain peace by wishing away all of the troubles. In order to get a lasting peace in my life, I have to face up to the cause of my pain. I have to face up to my circumstances. In Isaiah 53:5, we are told that Jesus came for a purpose. The Messiah was coming with a purpose. It says he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds, we are healed. Our transgressions, our iniquities. What is the root cause of pain in the world? It's us. It's us. Mankind, humankind. Goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden. It's our selfishness, it's our sinfulness. When all the manifestations thereof, it may not be your sin that causes you pain, but it most certainly is the circumstance or perhaps transgressions of someone else that causes you that pain. But it's a human condition. Back in 1988, a screaming woman was trapped inside of her car, which was about to plunge over the edge of the road in East Los Angeles, sheer cliff below it. About a half dozen passing motorists stopped, and they grabbed some ropes out of one of their vehicles, no doubt a pickup truck. Somebody had stopped, because pickup trucks, those guys always have ropes and that kind of stuff in the back of their truck, right? So they tie these ropes onto this lady's car, and they're all standing there pulling on these ropes, basically holding her car to keep it from plunging over the cliff. And they hung on until help arrived. First responders, firefighters, those type of things. And then this ladder was extended by one of the trucks from below to help stabilize the car while firefighters tied the vehicle to tow trucks with cables and chains. Perhaps those were in the pickup truck too, okay? And one of the rescuers observed, every time we would move that car, the lady inside would scream. She was in terrible pain. It took about 2.5 hours for the passerbyers, the police officers, the tow truck drivers, the firefighters, about 25 people in all were involved in this rescue in order to secure the car and pull the woman back to safety. And all through this episode, this woman continued talking, repeating a phrase over and over and over again, and the rescuers could hear it pretty clearly. The fire captain responded and recalled later, he says, you know, it really was kind of funny. It wasn't funny, ha-ha, it was just kind of strange funny. Because she kept saying over and over and over, I'll do it myself. I'll do it myself. I'll do it myself. I'll do it myself. He said, how ludicrous. How ludicrous. And yet, we're guilty of the same attitude in our own lives. I'll do it myself. Or as the toddler says, me do it myself. You know, stomp their feet. Me do it myself. Why do we not have peace in our circumstances and in our lives? Probably because we have not dealt with the spiritual plague known as selfishness, sinfulness. We have not surrendered our will to God's and accepted His peace that erases the eternal consequences of our sin. His peace comes by accepting the most precious gift that God gave because of His love for us. And that gift was Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. The Apostle Paul, for those of you that were here Wednesday night, you recall we looked at the letter to the church at Philippi, and he instructed them how to have peace in their relationships, in their circumstances, and in their own minds. If you missed that study, you're just missing out when you don't come on Wednesday night. That's all I can say, a little commercial there. But as we studied that and as we looked at that, the bottom line is that we are to focus on the things of God, living and praying accordingly. Paul assured the church that if they would do those things, then, quote, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Our hearts and our minds. This Christmas, make it all about Him, not about you. Pray that God will show you the source of your hurt and your pain, and then surrender all of that to Him. Let Him give you His peace. Let's pray and ask for His help. Gracious Father, we confess our selfishness. We confess our sinfulness. We confess that sometimes we think it's all about us. We know better than that. We truly do know better. But we get caught up in the confusion. We get caught up in the day-to-day. God, help us to see each day as a true gift from You, an opportunity to live as a blessing to Your name by blessing others. God, help us to rediscover Your peace and what that looks like in our lives. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. If you're here and you do not have peace in your life, one of two things is probably wrong. Either you are not a believer and you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus, which you can this morning. I'll be here at the front. Be glad to talk with you about that, how you can receive Christ as your Savior, as your Prince of Peace. Or the other option is maybe you are a believer, but you're still trying to do it under your own strength. We're all guilty of that to some degree, probably every day. I challenge you, if you're in that second category of just trying to handle it yourself, that you'd repent from that. Just to be frank, just repent from it. Just say, God, I'm sorry. I turn away from that. I want to live for You. I want to live under Your power and in Your peace. You can do that right where you are, where you're singing. You can come here. I'll be glad to talk with you here. Whatever your decision is there, we settle that before you leave here today. There's another decision you'd like to make this morning in regard to church membership. It's a wonderful congregation of believers. I know you probably know that by now if you're not a member here. If you'd like to be, there are many ways we receive members. I'll be glad to talk with you about that. Whatever your decision is, I invite you to make that as we stand and sing together. response from our channels. I invite you, turn to one another, greet one another in peace, and invite you to come back Wednesday night. As I made reference in the sermon, we have a wonderful time of fellowship, and I think we're having pizza this Wednesday night. So come join us, eat with us, and enjoy the fellowship and study together. Let's pray. Gracious Father, thank you. Thank you for the chance to be in your house, to be together, to worship, and to fellowship. God, we pray as we go from here that we would exemplify your peace so that the world can see the difference and desire to know you more completely. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
So bright, more lovely than the noonday light, it shines to herald forth the King, glad tidings of our God to bring. See now fulfilled what God decreed, from Jacob shall a star proceed,
and holy Eastern sages send to.